Hare Krishna. Sunny day here in Paris. Just came back from morning program. Adhikara Prabhu gave class, and him and Shamlal and Gornitai are doing the morning Harinam in the local area, and then they'll come back for lunch and we'll go out in the afternoon and do Harinam again and try and get some devotees, guests, to come to our new center. The idea of making new French devotees who will serve as the revival basis of the Paris Yatra. Seems like there may be one boy, Jean-Paul, online. He's coming, chanting japa, comes for a class in the evening. I met him last night. Anyway, it's very encouraging, and he came from meeting devotees on Harinam. Okay, let's answer a few questions, and here's one from Mike Rainford. This isn't exactly a question. He says, can you communicate without being on a public forum? Better that you send post than email, Mike, because I already have so much email in my GBC service that is already too much for me to handle. And Mike just puts in one question here, asking how I can be pleased. The most pleasing thing to any devotee is that others become Krishna conscious. So if you're chanting 16 rounds and following the regulative principles, Mike, and reading Srila Prabhupada's books regularly and making a real serious effort to be Krishna conscious, that certainly gives me the greatest pleasure. It will give Srila Prabhupada the greatest pleasure and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you're fixed in devotional service, then see how you can also help in the preaching and service of the Nam Hato over there as well. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Taran Krishna Prabhu, well, he wants a topic of book distribution, which is a very good topic, but let me leave it for another time, Tarun, and we'll come back to that. We'll just stick to questions right now. And here is Krishnananda Prabhu from Moscow, whose mail address is from Russia. And he's asking whether I'm going to be at the Kazakhstan festival because devotees want to make arrangement to go. I'm not completely sure. I asked Govinda Maharaj to confirm for me that the Kazakhstan festival is actually on. I have not as yet received any type of information, invitation, confirmation that festival is happening, just in the light of the difficulties that are going on there in Kazakhstan. So when I do, or if Krishnananda, you can prompt devotees, whoever are coordinating that festival over there, to get in touch with me, then I could give you a positive answer once I hear from them. Now, Vinod Madjari from the UK wants to know, how does one know when one is over-endeavoring for material gains? Since we live in the modern world where two incomes are necessary just to survive, and often it's necessary for the women in the family to work, how would you know when this may be an over-endeavor for material needs? Maintenance is not a matter of over-endeavor. It's just a matter of establishing what is really our quota and what it is that we need to maintain ourselves. And I've given this formula many times, and I found that it works for grihasthas. Particularly, it's a good formula for new householder devotees who are just sort of making their way in the material world and not have yet made too many other commitments. And that is that you set your priorities from the beginning. And for a devotee, priorities are their spiritual life. Rising early in the morning, being with the chant 16 rounds, I have time for reading. Then, after your spiritual responsibilities, your responsibilities to your family, make sure that there's enough time for children. How much time is there left for work? So, if you have 8 hours left for work, 10 hours left for work, and then within that period of time, you do some form of work. I was going to say employment, but it's ideally better not to be employed by karmis, but rather be independent and have some type of self-employment, that kind of work. And if the husband can sustain the family, then that's good, and then the wife can stay at home. If not, then husband and wife work. But you just live according to what that income is once you've already taken off the time and devoted the energy to all the spiritual activities. In other words, you work in whatever time is left over after spiritual life, family life, personal life, health necessities are taken care of. Generally, people in the material world turn it the other way around. First, they have work, and then whatever time is left over, then they try to divvy that up between other necessities, and thus they're frustrated. Because they're not living according to their needs, they're living according to desires, they're living according to their wants. I want a lot of things, I want a big house, a big car, etc. So we should turn it the other way around. I want to be Krishna conscious, I want to chant 16 rounds, those are my priorities. And then however much money I make in the balance of the time, then that's how I live. If you're a millionaire, then you can live like a millionaire. And if not, then you live humbly like Sudama Vipra. And when one accepts that quota, which will vary from one person to the next, and by over-endeavoring, one does not over-endeavor for mundane things by which one has to sacrifice one's spiritual life and one's emotional and mental well-being, then that is what natural way of working. And if you do have to sacrifice your spiritual life to maintain yourself, then that's over-endeavoring. Particularly when you're maintaining yourself at a higher than average living standard. But even if you only maintain yourself in an average living standard, well, and that becomes a strain on your spiritual life, then maintain yourself at a lower than average living standard. In other words, our priority should be back home, back to Godhead, and for that, devotees should know how much time and energy is required from them. And that's where you draw the line. You say, this much more, I'm not going to work. I would rather live at a lower standard of living than a higher one if it means sacrificing my spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Varshana is asking for me to continue on with some more of the questions about Snana Yatra and Rath Yatra. Varshana, you're going to have to send them to me again because I erased that file. So if you send the questions that I haven't answered as yet, then I will. And this is the last question from Dhiran Patel. He says, I'm 16 years old, Gujarati, living away from the temple with a family not inclined to Krishna consciousness. Oh boy. I'm uninitiated and usually chant 10 rounds daily for minimum. I currently worship paper Radha Krishna deities and offer them arti, kirtan, food, water, tulsi, and flowers and garlands every day, as well as waking them up and putting them to sleep. I also wash their forms every week. Wow, on paper deities. My question is, starting deity worship, I've been told to worship Gornitai deities as they're the most merciful, but due to my family, they would not like me worshiping unknown murtis. Oh, double groan. If I worship Radha and Krishna deities, they would not mind as we already worship them at home. Okay, anyway, listen, Dhiran, don't start worshiping Radha Krishna deities. Radha Krishna deity worship is for initiated Brahmins and high-class Brahmins who can make a proper standard of worship. You're worshipping paper deities, I assume. Well, here you're saying, yes, the 3D cutouts. All right. So that's something like worshipping a picture. And there's no harm in that. If your parents are going to object to your worshipping Gornitai, because they're an unknown to them, then just wait until you get old enough to worship the deities of your choice. And when you do, then just worship Gornitai. You don't need to worship Radha and Krishna deities. Paramakaruna Pahudvinjana. Whatever benefit you get from worshipping Radha and Krishna, you'll get that same benefit from worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, if you worship Radha and Krishna without worshipping Lord Chaitanya, you'll get zero benefit. No one can get Radha Krishna without going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, dear, and you don't need to debate about who to offer your worship to. You can just continue Radha and Krishna. On the other hand, you could also try to educate, if there's any hope in that, your parents about worship of Gaur Nitai. On one side, they're not inclined to Krishna consciousness. On the other side, they're inclined to the worship of Radha and Krishna deities. But they should recognize that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are the personalities who introduced the worship of Radha and Krishna to India and to the world prior to, before Radha and Krishna worship was not known. Only Lord Krishna's worship was done before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So this is my advice to you, and in the meantime you should read Chaitanya Charitamrita and try to get to know the wonder of Gaur Nitai. By their worship, everyone can achieve perfection. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda are the deities that devotees should worship in their homes. Often this question comes up, and certainly a broader discussion for another podcast, what type of deities they should worship. Devotees have Jagannath deities, Gaur Nitai deities, Radha Krishna deities, Shalagram Shilas, Govardhan Shilas. It's such an easy thing to worship deities, especially when someone else gets tired of worshiping their deities and they put them in the box and hand them to devotees. Then all of a sudden devotees become inspired, thinking that Krishna has finally come to me, when actually he's just been abruptly handed on or passed on by another irresponsible worshipper who also had an idea to worship deities, but then sometime later passed them on. So one should really think very seriously about taking up deity worship before one does, and better to practice, just like Dhiran is doing here, practicing worshipping deities in a picture form, where there's no obligation to maintain or to stop that puja. And then, if devotees want to take up worship, the safest form of worship for householders, for anyone, is to worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. There's no offense involved in the worship. There's unlimited benefit. The standard of worship can vary. It can be very simple. The offerings can also be minimal. They do not have to be regulated. In other words, the strictness that should be there and the purity that should be there in the worship of Radha and Krishna deities are not needed by worship in worship of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. But what is needed is to chant Hare Krishna before them. So let's all keep in mind our worshipable lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They are the worshipable deities for this age. And by their blessings, let's learn how to chant the holy name offenselessly, and in that way attain the supreme benefit. Hare Krishna.